And this secret, you could say it's like turning on a switch. You know, it's like walking back there and turning on a switch. And it's interesting, you know, the lights, when you turn on this switch, don't just suddenly go down. They instantly go down. So if the switch is not on, then there's no flow. If the switch is on, then there's flow. And you know, I'm just giving you my past experience, and my past feeling was I need to be turning on the switch constantly. Actually, I have realized recently, and in the last 3 or 4 years, I need to leave the switch on. Forget about turning it on and off. Just leave it on. But, you know, you get concepts, at least I do. I get concepts built up. And sure, if I'm not enjoying the Lord, I need to go turn the switch on. But I shouldn't turn it off in the first place. But I'd say even a deeper key to than turning on the switch is the way to turn on the switch is telling the Lord that you love Him. If we don't cultivate a love for the Lord, you will never turn on the switch. It's our love for the Lord that causes us and constrains us to be in contact with Him all the time. So we need to be those who don't just focus on turning on a switch. We contact the Lord. Lord Jesus, I love you. I don't want to be out of your presence. I want to be beholding you and captivated by you. I really like that song, Captivated by His Beauty. Amen. Praise the Lord. Amen. We're those who are captured by Him. And because we're captured by Him, we want to just be in His presence. Amen. This is the way to keep the switch on. Amen. Is just tell the Lord and continually tell the Lord we love Him. Amen. Cultivate our love for the Lord. Then this becomes the real secret to experiencing the law of life. Amen. Then in point B, we need to cooperate with the installed and operating law of the Spirit of life by switching on the spontaneous and automatic power of the installed and automatic God, the indwelling Spirit as the current of the triune God. To switch on, this law is to remain in touch with the Lord. To switch on this law is, you catch that? To switch on this law is to remain in touch with the Lord, to stay in constant contact with Him, to have a habitual fellowship with Him, to be under His constant infusion, by walking according to the Spirit. So the verse here in 6:18, I think we all know, says, by means of all prayer and petition, praying always at every time in spirit and watching. We need to watch for our prayer. When we're not praying, when we're not calling on the Lord, this prayer doesn't mean an accessory prayer. This is a prayer of contacting the Lord by breathing the Lord. And we need to watch so that when we realize this is stopped in our being, we need to watch so we will turn back to contacting the Lord in prayer by just breathing Him and talking to Him and having a conversation with Him in a very normal way, just like you would have a conversation with your friend or your wife. So... Two is, in our spirit, we have the presence of God, the speaking of God, the meeting with God, and the dispensing of God through His operation as the law of the Spirit of life to impart Himself into our inward parts. Of course, we see this in Hebrews 8, where He's writing these. He's inscribing these laws into us. Into our hearts so that they're written in our hearts, which means the law of the Spirit of life has really one main purpose, and that's to dispense all that God is into our being. That's the main thing in the law of the Spirit of life. It's to dispense all that God is into our hearts. Then point three says, to walk according to the Spirit is to pray at every time in spirit. Our unceasing, continual living and breathing prayer should be, Lord, live through me. Amen. Oh Lord, live through me. Amen. According to the revelation of Ephesians, we have to be persons who pray unceasingly in order to have the reality of the body life. We must be watchful, fully awakened, fighting against our sleeping nature and our sleeping being, not just physically, but also psychologically and spiritually. Sleeping nature, fully awakened, fighting against our sleeping nature and sleeping being. Awake, sleeper. Rise from the dead. Amen. Praise the Lord. This is our natural being. We just are dull. We just go to sleep. Not only physically, but also spiritually. We just get too comfortable. So we need to fight against this. We need to be those who are watchful and fight against this. We need to exercise our spirit to rise up over our body and our psychology, taking heed to the Lord's word and watch and pray, praying at every time in spirit and being watchful on the alert for the maintaining of our prayer life. We must build up the habit of living Christ. Build up the habit of living Christ. To build up a habit means you've got to practice. You don't build up a habit without practicing. We'll never just fall into living Christ. We have to build up this habit. Living Christ for the reality of the body of Christ by building up the habit of prayer. So it's not you build up the habit, but you don't have a way to do it. You do it by building up your habit of praying. So as we build up contacting and conversing with the Lord, this brings us into living Christ. And then we build up the habit of breathing in the pneumatic Christ unceasingly. Brother Lee spent a lot of time on this in the perfecting book training about how the only way to get out of our peculiarities and live Christ is by learning to breathe Him in, turning to Him, conversing with Him, praying at every time. So we need to be those who live Him in this way. We're special people. Sometimes we look back at the Old Testament and we see all those saints back there and we think, Abraham got to see God. He got to walk physically with God and talk physically with Him. But all of those things are just pictures. The most that the Old Testament saints could do was just live a picture. Today, we're not living a picture. We're living Christ. Amen. As the reality. Amen. So what we experience, even though it's not outwardly so physical, it's the reality of the pictures that were in the Old Testament. Amen. Praise the Lord for the time we're in. Amen. Praise the Lord we're living in this day. Amen. Hallelujah. Living in this day. Amen. In the presence of the King. Amen. Amen. Then 4 and 5, I really like these, the first two words of this. We can. We can live Christ. Amen. For the reality of the body of Christ, according to the law of the Spirit of life, by being filled with the Spirit and by letting Christ's word dwell in us richly. And we can live Christ for the reality of the body of Christ, according to the law of the Spirit of life, by being empty, open vessels. Amen. You know, when we receive God's life, I've known this term for a while, DNA, but I've never applied it to God so much. But when we received the Lord, we received His DNA. We received Him as a seed in our being that is growing, and that seed has the DNA of God. You know, no matter what member of my body you would get a sample of, it has exactly the same DNA. And that DNA produces a certain kind of person or a certain kind of a plant. You can't make an apple out of a peach tree. It's just not possible. The DNA is not the same. And neither do you have to teach an apple tree to be an apple tree. You just have to let it grow and feed it and water it and provide the right atmosphere. These are principles, right? These are principles of growing a tree. Well, God is the same way. We receive God with His DNA. And that seed in us as the DNA is going to produce God. We don't have to worry about it. We just need to provide the right atmosphere, the right watering, the right air. If we'll do this, He'll provide the fertilizer by our decaying body, by the cross. All of this will become the fertilizer for the growth of the divine life. Praise the Lord. But the rest of it, we have to exercise to be those who are giving the plant of the divine life the right air, drinking the flowing water of life so it can be watered in the proper way, and it will grow. We don't have to worry about that. So irregardless of what kind of a day we had, as we heard the other day, whether we're up or down, just stay attached. Allow the Lord to operate in our being. And stay open. Open doesn't mean that we're just here, Lord, I'm open to You, go do what You want. Right. Open here is it a passive active? Active passive. Thank you, Joe. It's active passive. We need to be active to keep our being open. Not that we're doing anything, but we're actively opening ourselves to the Lord. You know, in Hebrews, the warning there is that you would have a hardened heart of unbelief, that you would allow your heart to be hardened. This is a closed situation. You see this in Matthew with all the different kinds of soil in Matthew 13. Don't be the one that has a hard heart where the seed can't get into. But actively open yourself. Every morning before you completely get out of bed, Lord Jesus, thank You for another day. Amen. Lord, this day is for living You. Amen. I want to take You, Lord. Amen. I love You, Lord. Amen. Be everything to me today. Amen. And as we do this, this gives the Lord the way to gain us and grow in our being so that Christ is lived out of us. And this is not just so that I can have a good life. This is so He can have the body of Christ. Amen. Praise the Lord. So, in point A, it says, Paul's 14 epistles may be summarized by two words. Open vessel. That summarizes 14 epistles pretty succinctly, right? Open vessels. Just be open vessels. And then these verses, of course, talk about the vessels, you know, that He made, some to honor, some to dishonor. But then in 4:17, in this vessel, praise the Lord for what's in this vessel. Amen. In this vessel, we have a treasure. Amen. This treasure, you know, if you look at the verses right before it, Paul says, whom I forgave in the face of Jesus Christ. This treasure that's in us, on one hand, it's Christ. But I'd say more succinctly, it's the face of Christ. in us, in our vessel, we can see Christ's face to know whether what we're beginning to do is according to Him or not. We can see the index of His eyes. Any married couple, you don't have to say that many words between you. You just look at one another and you know. You just know. The words are said just in the look and the eye. This is what our relationship with the Lord needs to be. Amen. That in this vessel we have the face of Christ in us so that we can inwardly look at Him and we know where we are. We know whether He approves or doesn't approve. And we need to be those looking in this kind of a way to Him. So we need to love the Lord to the uttermost, keeping ourselves entirely, thoroughly, and absolutely open to Him, allowing Him to be everything to us and do everything in us, through us, and for us for the sake of the body. The operating of the law of life as the divine capacity within us spontaneously causes us to live God and become God in life and in nature, but not in the Godhead. Praise the Lord. As we've seen, this is going to happen because we have the divine DNA. The operating of the law of the Spirit of life as the divine capacity within us spontaneously constitutes us as members of the body of Christ with all kinds of functions, so that all the body causes the growth of the body unto the building up of itself in love. I really like these verses in Ephesians, because here it says that He gave some apostles, some prophets, some teachers, some shepherds for the perfecting of the saints, unto the work of the ministry for the building up of the body of Christ. If we have this kind of view, saints, that God in us is life and that He's developing in us as members of the body, we may not know what different ones, honestly, I would say we may not know what we are. We can see what the body is the one that knows what the members are. The body knows the function of the members. Individually, we may not know what our function is. I think I've told you the story when I went to work on the hall in Ball Road. I really wanted to do something. I wanted to be outside with a hammer up on a scaffold. And a brother came to me and he says, "Brother, we want you in the office making phone calls." And I said, "I am not good on a phone. I don't like to use a phone. I think what I need to be doing is up on the scaffold with these hammering these nails." And he said, "Brother, the body is the one that knows your function." Don't assume to know what you can do. It was a big help to me. Since that time, I haven't had a lot of questions about what I do. I still don't know what I do. I really don't. And people will come up to me on some of these sites and say, "What do you do?" And I don't know what I do. But I'm put in a certain place by the members of the body. And you just function according to where you're placed. Don't worry about what you do. Praise the Lord. It's so simple. The DNA is growing in us. Amen. To make us members of the body with a certain function. Not all the members of the body have the same function. Right? That's the way Romans 12 starts out. We're all members, but we don't have the same function. But we are needed. We're necessary. You know, there's a brother when we were in Boston, and I'm not talking about Rob, that he went to roll a gate closed, and as he rolled the gate closed, the gate was a very, very heavy gate, and the roller rolled over his little finger and broke his little finger and cut it pretty bad. And, you know, he said, Brother Lee always used the finger as the, you know, getting into the ear. Well, that little finger does a lot more than just getting into the ear. You know, you don't realize when you go to pick up something how much that finger holds that thing you're trying to pick up. You try to swing a hammer, try to swing a hammer without using your little finger. That hammer will probably slip out of your hand. Yeah, your grip's not complete. So no matter how small something is, it is indispensable. Amen. You may think you're indispensable, just like Dan was saying last night. That is the lie of the enemy. All the members of the body are indispensable. Amen. We're all members of the body, and all of us are needed. So praise the Lord. Praise the Lord for this weekend. Amen. We can see more of the reality of the body of Christ. Amen. And how to live in the body of Christ. Amen. By living Christ. Amen. We felt like Ron gave a conclusion to this word in Taipei that's about 5 minutes, 5 or 10 minutes. And we felt it'd be really good if we just read that. So I think Dallas is going to read that concluding word.
Amen. I believe that the Lord needs many of us to pray a particular kind of prayer. Without this kind of prayer, there is not the way for the body of Christ to become a reality. This prayer is, Lord, cause the desire of your heart to become the desire of my heart. When the desire of his heart becomes the desire of our heart, we can cooperate with him. What is the desire of his heart? He wants to come back to marry his bride. Amen. He gave himself up for her, and he is the Savior of the body. Before he comes back to terminate the age, he will come for his counterpart. Amen. But in order for him to have his bride, he must see in the local churches the living out of the body of Christ. Man looks on the outward appearance. God looks on the heart. Now in his presence, he knows how much reality has been wrought into us. So let me just give you a brief statement of the essence of this burden. Reality is the triune God himself. The reality of the body of Christ is the spirit of reality, saturating our being with the all-inclusive Christ. Amen. From our point of view, how does this take place? It is actually very simple. In our love for the Lord, we need to live all the time as vessels open to him. He needs open vessels. Amen. Not open to know things. Not open to do things, but open in this way. Open in two aspects. Number one, open our entire being to receive the divine dispensing. Every day and everywhere at every time, we live before him as open vessels, praying for him to work himself into us. Whether or not we are an open vessel is up to you. So along with the divine dispensing, we need to be open to something else. God solves all problems by the cross. No matter how differently we are outwardly, we all have the same inner problems. The flesh, the self, the natural constitution and culture wrought into our being. We need to be open to the cross of Christ to be applied to everything in us. Please don't be afraid of this. Be afraid of being untouched. Just love the Lord. Be open to him and receive the cross working little by little. But let's all do this not for our own spirituality. Let's tell the Lord, Lord, do this in me for the body. Then we will learn to live in this reality. This is to live in the mingled spirit, the life of a corporate God-man. How did Jesus live in his physical body? He lived by every word out of the mouth of God. He lived by the Father. He denied his natural life. He did everything with God, in God, and by God. Now he wants to live the same way again in his mystical body. The reality of the body of Christ lived out is Jesus living again corporately. And we do this by learning to walk according to the Spirit. As I share this with you, I share not as a teacher, but as a learner, learning to live according to the mingled Spirit, learning to keep the principles of the body. The principles are spiritual organic laws. I mentioned just two of them. The first is this realization, and you will be able to say this to the Lord, Lord Jesus, I cannot live without you. And Lord, I cannot live without the body of Christ. Amen. I am a member. How can members of our body live without the other members? Then, one other matter, we will do everything in the fellowship of the body. As we are gathered here now, there is both joy and pain in the organic body of Christ. There is joy because so many are gathered together seeking the Lord for his desire. But the body suffers pain whenever the members do things apart from the fellowship. The reality of living in the body of Christ is to live in the fellowship of the divine life. May the Lord have mercy on us, cause his heart to become our heart, cause the desire of his heart to become the desire cause the desire of his heart to become the desire of our heart. Then I end by telling you this. Something will take place in your being similar to Psalm 42:2. The psalmist said, my soul thirsts for God, for the living God. You will be able to say, my inner being thirsts for reality. I thirst for the reality of the body of Christ. Amen. It is a blessing to have such a thirst. This will motivate us day after day. This will cause us to open ourselves to the Lord and allow him to do with us whatever is in his heart. Lord, in our lifetime, gain the reality of the body of Christ in the local churches all over the earth. Amen.